Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome. My name's Haley Strong, and no, you're not listening to the Bachelor Wrap-Up, although that is coming soon this week. No, I'm here for a different reason. Many of you may think my favorite show is The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. You'd be wrong. Also, if you've been listening to my podcast, you know that's not the case. I am thrilled to be here today to talk about my actual favorite show. It's a show I fell in love with a couple years ago. My friend Lauren, who is my patron saint of British panel shows, introduced me to it, and I was head over heels for it immediately. And I'm joined by two super fans of Taskmaster to talk about the New Year's treat special that aired this week. Grace Leader, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Same as you, I am a Taskmaster fanatic. I don't know if it's my favorite show, but it is one of my favorite shows on television. It's just so different than anything else you see. So I'm super excited to talk about the New Year's treat special, as they called it.
And Miles Nye.
Hi, Haley. Hi, Grace. Hi, gals. Thanks for having me on. I'm pumped to talk about Taskmaster. And I'm relieved that we're not talking about The Bachelor because I haven't ever seen an episode. So this is much more in my wheelhouse.
I know. I'm so excited to talk to the both of you because I haven't podcasted with either of you. I'm big fans of both. So not only is talking about Taskmaster a treat, but talking to you guys is a treat and a half. So what is Taskmaster? If you've tuned into this podcast, you're either already know what Taskmaster is. You're excited to hear about it. Or you just like us and you wanted to listen to a podcast from us, which I'm happy about too. But you're intrigued about Taskmaster. So what is it? I alluded to, it's a British panel show. There's a couple different versions floating around the internet now. Taskmaster New Zealand, Taskmaster US, but the original came from the UK. It is a show usually with five comedians. Once in a while, they'll throw somebody else in there who ends up being pretty funny. And they have to do tasks. So this seems simple when I'm just telling you that they have to do tasks, but they're interesting tasks. Grace, what's your favorite task you've seen so far?
Well, I don't know about my favorite. The one that hooked me, which is funny, when I remember I would tell people, like when you're giving them the pitch for Taskmaster, because it's sort of this niche show, and you give them the pitch, and to me, the one I always go to is when they had to eat as much watermelon as they could in like 2 minutes or whatever. And I kept telling that story, like that's the one that hooked me. And then I like went back and rewatched the first season, and it's literally the first task of the first episode. So that's how quickly I think the show like can hook you in. So that one is a treat of mine, is eat as much watermelon, because, and I think there's one in the earlier seasons where they have to move a boulder as far as possible. And that's another one that just yes. Like there was just like the different ways in which these five different comedians, or often like one actor who I think, you know, changes the dynamic a bit. It's just how do five different people approach this, like one, the same set of instructions that they're given, which makes this show such a delight.
Yeah, as Grace said, their tasks like eat a watermelon, paint a horse while riding a horse, throw this potato in a hole. That's one of my personal favorites. Miles, what about you?
favorite tasks. The one that hooked me was the one about putting the yoga balls on the mat on the top of the hill.
Again, I think that's one of the first tasks of season two.
Yeah, which I watched first. I watched two, and it was because of you, Haley. We know this, right? This is canon.
Yeah, I think it's canon for you and I, but it might not be canon for everyone involved.
I followed Haley's direction, which was to watch Taskmaster, and it was a great choice. Highlight of 2020 is watching this series since completion.
And I think I tweeted, I was maybe a couple glasses of wine deep, and I said, watch Taskmaster. Like, if I, like, I have a bad taste in television, but I know this is good. And you reached out and said, like, do you think I would like it? And I think I said, Miles, out of anyone, you are going to love this. This is like, this is like, if you had a perfect show come to life.
Yeah.
This is it.
It's like, it does lead credence to conspiracy theories that I'm a brain in a jar being fed stimuli, because it does seem like a show tailor-made to me, like, hey, what if The Genius, but a comedy? And I was like, wait, for real? And they're like, yeah, and almost none of the math. I'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, the alternative title for the show was The Miles Nye Show.
Yeah, so that should be so lucky. Yeah, and I am a, bearded game maker who wears funny socks, and I work with a tough old stick named Greg. So that's my business partner. It was like when I went to, if you're vain enough, you can see everything about you. The Mike Birbiglia film Don't Think Twice is about a left-handed blue-eyed improviser named Miles, who's got a little extra around the middle. And I was like, oh, looks like my life would have been if I had stayed on a different path. So that felt like it was reaching out to me, but that's a real tangent. A favorite task, you say? The yoga balls, and then all-time favorite involves tennis ball machines. And I opined this on Twitter, that this is probably my number one favorite task. It was a team task. And a person I follow who I find intimidatingly cool made a comment that made me feel like I'd made the wrong choice, but I don't care. I love it. Actually, that's not true. I care a little, but I shouldn't, because I love the tennis ball task.
So, Miles, we know your introduction to Taskmaster. Grace, how did you get into this show?
I have always been a fan of sort of the British quiz show, panel show. So your QIs, your 8 out of 10 cats, Would I Lie to You, Pointless, any British. I just love British humor. And so Alex Horn had, he's guest appeared on some of those shows with his band, The Horn Section. And sort of just, I think, following some of the stuff that he was doing, I think the first season watch was season two, which had Richard Osborne on it. And I think it actually might have been the yoga ball test, which was one of the first ones I had seen as well. So, the panel of comedians features a lot of people you'd see if you're watching a British quiz show or a panel show. So naturally, as soon as I saw it, I had to watch as much of it as I could.
Yeah, I think season two is where I started, because I'm a huge Catherine Ryan fan, and my friend knew that. So she's like, just start with season two. I watched a lot of Cats Countdown, and John Richardson is regularly on that. So yeah. Nicole Wilkinson, Richard Osman, I've come across on that show a couple times too. Doc Brown was new to me, but I loved him. So that was, I'd say that's probably my favorite season. It's just close to my heart. So, but Taskmaster, they did, for New Year's Day, a New Year's special. It was a one-off. There was no comedians. It was mostly actors and news presenters and TV personalities. And I thought it was a really fun special. And if you haven't watched Taskmaster before, I think this is probably a good place to start. You get a good feel for the show, but you kind of get its whole conclusion in one. And luckily, it's all available on YouTube on like the actual Taskmaster YouTube channel. It's legal to watch. You don't have to look for a sketchy stream or anything. So right now, all of the seasons, I think except season 9, and yeah, I think just season 9 isn't up yet, and half of season 8, but they're continually putting up an episode a week. So it will all be there. So let's get into the Taskmaster special. The cast. We have Shirley Ballas, who is a judge on Strictly Come Dancing, which is the British version of Dancing with the Stars. And I'm actually pretty sure if you watch Dancing with the Stars, Mark Ballas, who used to be a pro, I think this is his mom. So she is she's a judge on Strictly. Nicola Coughlin.
And she surely is a dancer herself, as yes. we saw. And yes. absolutely magnetic.
She was a thrill to watch.
Yeah. What star power. I looked up these five panelists. Grace, you mentioned, I wanted to call out the term you used, that it's a panel show, which is not really something that is on American TV. It was at one time,
true.
Right? Shows like What's My Line? But it isn't, I mean, Taskmaster is not a quiz show. And to my mind, not a game show. I mean, they do give out points, but it's just that a panel show is, I mean, an American panel show, I think Wait, Don't Tell Me is a panel show. And that might be the only one that's like on that's broadcasting now. And given that this was going to be a one-off, I did something I've never done before, which is I looked up each of these five competitors. I read their Wikipedia note and I tried to find a YouTube clip of all of them, all except Shirley, whose name came last and I ran out of time. I read her node, but never, I didn't get to see her on YouTube. I'm sure as shit gonna now, because she's got it and I want to watch her on YouTube. And she is a real star and was so glad that she was included.
Yeah, I'm dying to watch Strictly. So if anyone can send me a link of where I can find that, let me know.
Yeah, I think Taskmaster does incredible casting in the sense that often when the lineup sort of gets announced, and this one was very different. It's very different type of makeup than we normally see in a season. But typically, you know, there's at least one or two people you're like, oh, they're going to be really good. You're like, oh, I recognize that person. And typically there's sort of one person who you're like, don't know anything about them. Never really seen them before. And often that ends up being one of my favorite people on the season. And in this episode, for sure, Shirley was such a standout. She was so great and just magnificent to watch, and had so much like gusto and wanting to like complete
gusto.
Every single task that was like put in front of her.
At first, what you brought to mind was Shirley Bassey, who Sean Gibson brought in her pop socks as a best stolen item for a prize task.
Right.
That's a deep cut. I mean, you know, but when I saw her name, I was like, pop socks? No, what? And it's a different person altogether.
Yeah, Shirley is great. I felt like she hadn't seen Taskmaster before, but she threw herself into it so much that I just absolutely loved it. And then we have Nicola Coughlin. She is from most notably Dairy Girls and the new Netflix show. How's it pronounced?
Bridgerton.
I really like her. I love Dairy Girls. She was probably the only one that I had name recognition for.
yeah.
I'm not a big movie watcher. Spoiler alert, not a big movie watcher.
Mm-hmm.
I love Nicola. I think she has a great personality. I recently watched the Dairy Girls special for Great British Bake Off, and she really threw herself into that. So I had a feeling she'd really throw herself into this as well. She had mentioned on Twitter beforehand that she is a big fan of Taskmaster, so
wonderful.
I was really hopeful for her. I thought maybe she'd pull it out of the bag, but much like the Great British Bake Off appearance, it was not in the cards for her. But I really enjoyed her, regardless.
Yeah, she was great. Again, same thing. Someone I knew from Dairy Girls, love Dairy Girls. It's hilarious. But she tried really hard, I think, and maybe wasn't quite as successful as she wanted to, but it was really fun to watch her.
Yeah, enjoyed her very much as well.
Then we have Rylan Clark-Neal, who is a TV presenter. And once I saw him, I definitely recognized him. I feel like I've seen him on Would I Lie to You a couple times.
Yeah.
Probably else. I think I've seen him on Pointless a few times too, just around the TV show circuit. But he was great. Also seemed to be a fan of Taskmaster. He dressed up like Greg for the studio task, or for the studio portion, which I thought was lovely. He was a lot of fun, and he's one person that I think I'd love to see a full season of Taskmaster from him.
I agree with that 100%. When he has a moment in an episode where he's just thinking really hard and he goes, I'm just trying to figure out a way to cheat. And like, to me, that like sort of, that sort of like finding the loophole is the thing that, to me, like when I'm watching the show, that's how I'm sort of thinking about it. It's like, oh, is there a loophole here? And I think they've tried to sort of restrict those loopholes compared to what you could sort of get away with in the earlier season, because if, you know, someone finds a loophole every time, then they sort of might be the runaway winner. But you can still, Rylan was just looking for every sort of loophole, and I just loved seeing, you could see his brain working the entire time, every task.
My thoughts about Ryland are complicated, and I will get into them later.
Okay. And then we have Krishnan Guru Murthy, who is a news presenter. Is he on Channel 4? Did you find that in your...
He's a Channel 4 presenter. I think Greg called that out in the show. I think he mentioned Channel 4, which this is now their like second series on Channel 4, right? Because the series 10 was the first time they'd switched there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had never really come across anything from Krishnan. I did listen to the Taskmaster podcast today. Ed Gamble said that Krishnan had come on the Ed and James Acaster's Off Venue podcast. So I think I've maybe listened to the episode, but I didn't really know much about him. I liked him. Again, I don't think he's ever seen the show and maybe didn't really know what to expect. That's fun sometimes. And I liked him on this.
Krishnan's Wikipedia node led me. Yeah, I did him first. And so I watched his Wikipedia node referenced sit down interviews he'd done with celebrities one on one. And there was one with Quentin Tarantino and another one with Robert Downey Jr. And both of them were in this category of celebrity interviews that end in some sort of contentious way. Like with, you know, Robert Downey Jr. actually exited the room. He grew weary of Krishnan's questions about his past with drugs. And Quentin Tarantino was just a real piece of shit. I mean, very true to form for Quentin Tarantino. But Krishnan asked him questions about violence in his movie, and he's like, I'm not going to answer your questions. I don't want to do it for you. And it just seemed really ugly. And from those two videos, I really couldn't get anything from Krishnan. But if I just imagined he was like Anderson Cooper, I you know, liked the way that he had fun and threw himself into the game. And so, yeah, watching those videos was kind of a waste of time.
I think that was his role. Like his role in the show was sort of be the guy who you normally take seriously. He's been on like What I Lied to. He's sort of done the panel circuit or the quiz show circuit before, and he always sort of plays that role of being sort of a guy they poke fun at for being a little bit too serious, I think, sometimes, or that his job is one, whether you would consider a news anchor to be a super serious job, but sort of one they sort of, you know, poke fun at a little bit. And I think he sort of embraces it, I think, at this point. So I think that's sort of what he was going to do. We'll get to his prize task that he brings in. But I don't think he had ever seen Taskmaster. I think you're right.
And then we have who I think would probably be the biggest name that was on this episode, with Don Hanna. He's not someone I've ever come across, but when I sat down to watch this episode with my husband, he was like, oh, John Hanna. I love John Hanna. I'm not a big movie watcher. Four Weddings and a Funeral has been on my list to watch for probably about 10 years now, and I just haven't gotten there. There was another one that I was told he was in that I just can't remember now. Miles Grace, did you know John Hanna before this?
He's sort of like, when you see his face, you're like, oh, him? Like, you know, but I wasn't really super familiar with a lot of his work.
I know him exclusively for one thing, The Mummy. I saw the first Mummy in theaters, and he's memorable in that. He's a comic relief character. He plays the star's brother. And then I think I saw the second Mummy, and in both of those, he's funny, so I remembered him. And oh my, I loved his Scottish accent. It's Scottish, right?
My husband was like, I didn't know he like had an accent. I just thought he was American.
Yeah, I listened to him talk all day. Hoo-wee.
I love a Scott. I loved Ian Sterling on the show too. I could listen to him just speak endlessly.
John Hanna, he was also on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for an arc, I think. He had an arc on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the Marvel show. So, yeah.
Good for him. Does he use an American accent on that show?
He doesn't have an American accent.
So let's get into the first task, and it's what we always start off with in an episode of Taskmaster. It's a prize task. So there's a ton of categories. What's a good prize task off the top of your head?
Well, I remember the one that was best thing for the 90s, because it was one of those episodes where Greg like shits on everyone. Like they were all deemed to be bad. And so then like the person who went fifth, who might have been Carrie Godleman, I'm not even sure that I've got the season right, but she brought a box set of Friends, which is like a legitimately good prize and a thing for the 90s. And then she had the whole cast mock pose the Friends couch pose, which I was like, oh, this is funny that this is happening. So I like that one. But as far as a category, best key, I thought was a cool one.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite ones that was a classic is just like, bring something that's worth the most or whatever in season four. That was a fun one.
Is that where we get the wedding ring? Is that that one?
No, I think that's a... no, I can't remember. Maybe.
Is that maybe most sentimental?
Brings in his marriage license. Maybe he was his... I can't remember.
Yeah, in season two, Joe, the guy who throws the potato, he brought in his marriage license. And that was the first episode I saw and the first task and maybe the first contestant. And I thought, well, I don't know who this guy is. I'd never seen Joe on anything before, but I kind of don't like him. I think like I'd never seen the show. And I was like, it's kind of shitty that he did this thing that his wife told him not to do. Like, I don't know that I'm going to enjoy this show. And it turns out that I did. So let that be a lesson.
Joe is a particular taste that you either love or hate, I think.
I liked it when he got his when the ruling was made on the potato task.
Yes.
So this prize task, the best thing to bring to a party. I really like the category of this. I think sometimes it gets a little too finicky, but I love how vague this could be and how simple it sounds, but how much fun you can have. So we first see John Hannah's. He brought a Bop-It.
Can I just free associate on Bop-It? First of all, my first thought was, John Tannen didn't put that Taskmaster seal on it, did he? Because it's like the logo's right in the middle. And I found it a little distracting because that's usually not on a Bop-It. But then I realized that, no, John Hannah wouldn't have done that. But it was obscuring the Hasbro logo. So yeah. I think they don't have to clear it, which is kind of genius.
I have enjoyed a Bop-It once or twice. I don't know if I'd need it at a party, though.
I've been at some parties where a Bop-It would be welcome. You know, sitting around, someone's like, I brought the Bop-It. You're like, thank God. Like, let's Bop-It.
Yeah. Greg Davis was not at any of the parties you were at where the Bop-It was a beloved. So John Hannah's miscalculation was in the Taskmaster's task. I also want to say I was hired on a game show called Hasbro Family Game Night to adapt games such as Connect Four into big Double Dare style game show games. We made it into a basketball Connect Four, and we were supposed to work on the Bop-It, but I was fired off that show before we finished working on the Bop-It.
Oh, no.
Most of the shows I've worked on other than Survivor I've been fired off of, so that's what I think of when I see the Bop-It, to tell you the truth.
I bet we got one season we got like adapt a video game, right?
Yes.
Maybe at one point we'll get like adapt some sort of like board game.
They did do that.
They did do that. Yeah, it was a team task on season 9, I think.
David Baddiel was Cavity Sam. How's that for a poll?
And then Christian brings in a disco light. Greg was not thrilled with this one either. I would have to agree. We could have done better. But I think this just shows that, like, Krishnan didn't really know what he was getting himself into here.
Yeah, I think what I really like about this task, when you talked about there being certain prize tasks that are a bit too finicky, what did we get last season? We got in season 10, we got the best thing with a spring in it, right? Like, that's where we've been before. So this one is vague enough, but it also, I think, immediately set us up to really get a sense of who these people were going to be in an episode. I think, you know, you can pull the spring prize task, you know, in the fourth episode of a long series, but in something where you really want to get to know these people. And I think so far, a game of Bop-It, which is like John Hannah is certainly the elder statements of the this panel, and so kind of being the guy who's like, yeah, I'll bring a Bop-It, like kind of like a dad, like, yeah, okay, well, you know, we'll have a fun nice party and we'll bring a Bop-It. And then Christian being like, let's get a disco light happening. I think
it's
are good
logical,
representations of it.
answer. And yeah. I don't disagree that having, like, if you take the same party and add the Disco Light to it, probably does make the party better, but only by a very small amount. So yeah. It's logical, but not inspired. I kind of agree with Greg's ruling on that.
I feel like I would have only given this 1 point. I think John's bop it maybe deserved 2 or 3 points.
Mm.
Rylan, he received 3 points for his robot vacuum cleaner. His justification was if he has a party at his house, he cannot sleep until the mess is cleaned up. So he needs a robot vacuum cleaner. I don't know if this is something you bring to a party, though. I'd be afraid that somebody would spill a drink on it or step on it. I don't know.
I agree by Ryland placing his inability to sleep after a party as like a somewhat universal experience. He brought something that you use to clean up after a party is over. You don't bring the robot vacuum cleaner to a party.
Right.
Nicola, I think she really thought about this. She said, I am going on Taskmaster. What is a prize that would give me 5 points on Taskmaster? And she brought a skeleton holding a bottle of tequila, which I think was masterful on her part. So simple, but so outrageous.
Great response to the prompt.
Do you think she should have been given the 5 points?
No. I think that Shirley Ballas deserved the 5 points.
You think Shirley deserved the 5 points?
No, I disagree. I think the skeleton is the most unique. Like, you know, anybody could bring a drinks trolley to a party, and it wouldn't be that, like, the next, you know, when you're talking about, remember that party where, like, Shirley brought the drinks trolley? Isn't, like, the most memorable story. Remember when Nicola brought the skeleton holding a bottle of tequila? Is, like, a story. So, to me, that's 5 points. That's the best one.
If anything, I think Nicola and Shirley maybe should have both got 5 points and everyone else got like even less points. Shirley, she brought a drink trolley with a record player on it. I think Greg gave her 5 points because he fell immediately in love with her.
He did seem very enamored by Shirley.
Well, you know. That maybe Greg is, he can give out the points any way he wants. What's great about this is I'm in the comfortable, luxurious position of having the same point of view as the Taskmaster, so I don't have to defend it.
True.
So yeah, Shirley ended up with the 5 points for her drinks trolley. She really sold it. I think that's what helped.
I think that the joy of having, I mean, Grace, you may say, oh, somebody just, you know, anybody could bring a drinks trolley with a record player to a party. I've never been at such a party. I'd be delighted if it were. And I just think that the enduring joy of the trolley, I don't think that it diminishes over the course of the party. Whereas I think the skeleton gives you a big pop. You come into the party and see that the skeleton's there, or you're at the party and here comes Nicola with her skeleton. And then, you know, a little while later, I'll tell you one thing, that tequila bottle is not going to stay in the skeleton's hand, right? Some joker's going to take it out,
true,
move it to the kitchen, and then it's just a skeleton. So I
love a good bit. So to me, it's like, you know, the skeleton gets longevity at the party because it's like, how many different bits can we do with the skeleton? Like, where can we be putting it? Where, how are we taking funny pictures with it? So that's my, You know, I won't die on this hill that Nicola should have won 5 points, but I love that we disagree already. It's great.
Here's a dad joke. A skeleton walks into a bar and says, I'll have a beer and a mop.
Moving
one,
on
one point.
To the next one task. Point. The first official task, get the biggest thing through the donut without breaking the donut. You have 20 minutes. Your time starts now. And there was a bonus rule. If you listen to the Taskmaster, you'll know. Or the Taskmaster podcast, Alex came in and gave his bonus fun fact. And it said, if you put the words, the biggest thing through the donut,
yeah,
you'll be disqualified and lose 1 point. So Alex loves the loopholes, but he's also sick of the loopholes and mm-hmm. tries to close them when possible. It's a funny closing of a loophole. He said he really thought somebody was going to do this. No one ended up doing it.
Yep. Yeah, better
we
to watch them. Much more fun to watch
things.
Them do the thing.
Yeah, what would you guys have done? What action would you take with this donut?
I always think that I would have some like sneaky way to get the biggest thing, and then I think I would do pretty much what Shirley does, which is like getting the biggest thing that's near me and then trying to push it through. Although Shirley, like, making the hole bigger was fascinating to me, making the donut hole like slightly bigger. I think it was really fun. I don't think anybody else did that. But I feel like I would have John again. I think John's way of just putting anything he could find through, just like constantly finding things and putting them through, is not exactly like, I think I would be so motivated on finding the biggest thing I could find that would fit, that's in the house. And I'd probably end up just somewhere in the middle.
I definitely would have liked to have tried to think of a way to break the donut. I don't think I think I would have not been confident, because it's like, you know, you can cut a piece of paper in a funny way and zigzag it and make it a thin strip, but not with a donut. So I think I would have left the donut as is. And I thought about passing the hose through the donut and turning on the water and then basically filling whatever the biggest, like whatever the bathtub. So like basically I was like, I passed that quantity of water through this donut and letting it, you know, take up as much space in the bathtub as it could in the time that it got full, if I wanted to go literal. But then I think I might have tried to like written a heartfelt love note to my wife, telling her about like our three children and our times together, and rolled that up and passed it through the donut and been like, oh, basically this like represents my feelings about my family, which is so large that, you know, can't really be measured, and see if I could get away with that.
I think I would have kind of gone similar to this, your second one. But I would have, I think, written like a social issue on a piece of paper, like the imbalance of capitalism, and pushed that through the donut or something. Like, I think that's what I would do. My favorite move in this challenge was when Nicola asked for a test donut and then ate the test donut.
Yep.
That was perfection. I wouldn't have thought of that, but I would have wished I had thought of that.
Well, didn't
that look like a good donut?
She asked for it. Did look like
it did
a good
look
donut.
A good donut.
The donuts were different, were they not?
I thought they all seemed like a classic cinnamon sugar donut. I was worried that some of the donut holes were smaller than like on certain donuts.
Suppose it's easy enough to have five of the same donut. But didn't she ask? Nicola wanted it to be a snacking donut, and then after she received it, decided to endow it as a test donut. That was also fun.
And Alex seemed genuinely bamboozled by that. He's like, I didn't expect this.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Nicola, she took an interesting turn on this. She put on a tip of a cactus and then added stuff to the cactus without moving the donut. I think she deserved her 1 point here. John, he poured tea through it. He made a very large cup of tea through his donut.
Yeah.
But he got 2 points. Krishnan used several objects tied together and just kept pulling them through. This feels unsettling to me, and I can't put my finger on why. Like, maybe it reminded me of a tapeworm, and I just didn't love...
Ew.
Didn't love the visual of it.
Didn't he ultimately say that it was a big... It was supposed to represent a fishing rod, and that the glove was the fish? Like, it's cool that he made a story about it.
Made no sense, though. He could have drawn eyes on the glove or something to make it look like a fish. Never in 5 billion years would I have been like, fish.
Well...
yeah. this is where I think, again, Christian doesn't totally understand Taskmaster, that like you don't need to come up with like a metaphor for why what you're putting through the donut hole. But, you know, bless his heart, he came up with something anyway.
I will say, had he watched enough Taskmaster, he would have known that Greg does like it when you come up with a story. He'll frequently, like in the scoring chair, say to someone, oh, this was a story about this, right? And the smart ones will be like, yeah, it was that. Because he gloms onto that. And it, I think that the difference between Christian and like, you know, a Phil Wang or something is that Christian was successfully able to tie stuff together and didn't just end up making a mess everywhere.
Yeah.
So that's to his credit.
See, I think like when you're talking about what you would do, Miles, or Haley, what you said about, you know, the biggest social issue you think of, I think I would just be sitting there so worried that whatever if I did that Greg would just go like, no, that no, it was a small piece of paper. So you get one point, right? Like that's the like the balance of like trying to figure out if you can game the Taskmaster, if you can incept his brain.
That's a great point. Here's the thing about me personally, which is maybe not aligned with a lot of the people that appear on Taskmaster. I'm really bad at most things I do. I have very few skills. I'm exceptionally clumsy. I'm moderately intelligent.
What is this negative self-talk claptrap, Haley?
So I never go into things expecting to win anything. And I also have no competitive spirit. So I would just go into it and be like, how can I have fun here? How can I just like mess around with things? And I feel like doing that, I'm messing around with things. And it could work out for me. And if it didn't, then like whatever, I didn't expect to win anyway.
Sure. I mean, the show would be no fun if it was five people who were like always trying to find the loophole, trying to like game the system and win. The fun of the show is that it's five people with totally different personalities. So I can respect that.
Like, I feel like I'd be very Badil-ish. Except I would like expect it. I feel like David Badil didn't expect
Haley.
Where I would be like, yeah, I feel like this isn't going to go great for me. Let's try it anyway.
You would tie spoons to the lasso.
You know what? I don't know if I would.
One would like you. I just think that I don't know you personally, Haley. I'd like to. You can't be David Badil because he's one of history's greatest fools. So. Maybe.
Maybe I'd be more Joe Brand, where it's just like, we're just here for a good time.
Oh my God.
Love a good Joe Brand.
You'd be legend. All right. We're going to circle back to this later, but I want to speak to all the listeners, not just Haley, who go, because I play games for fun and I don't care if I win, it means that I'm moderately intelligent and that I'm not good at things like that's one point of view. I don't believe we've talked about Ryland's cow.
Oh my God. I'm mad. I'm mad. Greg told me he did it so that someone would be mad. Here I am.
My hands up. Shireen style. Yeah.
I'm furious that he won.
I like it when the players remember that they are on a show and can do camera tricks. Lisa Tarbuck, to me, elite level Taskmaster player. And the pool balls, the task was do the best trick shot. And she did a stop motion film with the pool balls on the snooker table. And I was like, oh, that was great. And you know, she didn't set up like an actual trick shot. She used trick photography. I like that. So, you know, I think it's good on Ryland that he thought of doing that. But, you know, this was not good. And it was very derivative of Mawan's make a thing disappear. And
Mulan's was so much better that this didn't have a whole lot of impact for me.
This was the bodega version.
It's too bad that we just saw camera trickery with a cow, with that exact cow, like last season. But I was rooting for Ryland. I liked it. Is this the one where he says, I'm just trying to think of how I can cheat? Or I think that might be the last, life. But like, yeah, he didn't put a cow through the donut. So how can he win?
There was
also,
more.
Can we talk about Ryland's task outfit? How have we not mentioned it yet?
That should have been his party outfit, or the thing he'd bring to a party.
Yeah, he comes in this outfit, and it's like those costumes you see where you're like a cowboy or you're riding a horse or I can't even.
I've seen an ostrich. You're riding an ostrich.
Yes, an ostrich. You're running on an ostrich. But instead of an ostrich, it's Greg. It's a picture of Greg right in Ryland's area. So I thought that was a particularly hilarious outfit. I'm starting to lose like joy when I see like the funny outfits. Like, I don't know. They're just not doing it for me anymore. This was hilarious.
Yeah. Folks should know that like, if you haven't watched Housewives before, a very common, thing that happens each season is that they have a task outfit because they might not record everything on the same day. So in order to keep the continuity of the show, they have an outfit that they wear when they're doing every task. So there's been lots of like, last season we had someone who was kind of wearing like almost what looked like a NASA, like astronaut outfit so we've had some like, you know, quite out there ones. This for sure would probably be one of the most out there task outfits we've seen.
Yeah, it's a costume, and Daisy Mae Cooper was wearing a costume, this one was like a construct that was an additional. So okay, I looked up Ryland, like I looked up all the contestants, and it said, you know, this person won this show and is on this show, and then they said, oh, you know, he had a notable moment when he was told that he was selected for X Factor. So I watched that on YouTube. Have you seen this clip with Ryland?
I expected him to be very good. That was not the case.
He looks okay. So he has a big, I've just been selected to be on the show. I don't remember what year it was, but he does a big crying reaction, but like really big. And he falls down on the floor and, you know, he cries for a while, and it's quite a thing, quite a conniption. And then he's on the show and I see him and it's like years later, I did not catch on that he was wearing Greg's clothes. I identified his name tag that said Greg 2, but I didn't identify that he was wearing Greg's clothes, which is, you know, shows his fandom.
He just like pulls out a pair of glasses and is only wearing them for about 30 seconds. And that's when I think I said to Ethan, I was like, where do these glasses come from? And Ethan was like, he's dressed up as Greg.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's brilliant. And there's like one wide shot where they're just both wearing the exact same outfit.
But from the neck up, he looks like one of the people in the Capitol in the Hunger Games.
Yes,
like,
totally. Yeah, totally. That is perfect. Yeah.
He is not a natural human being. And I like that Greg brought it up towards the end. Like, you just say, or what did Nicholas say? There's a lot of shite being talked tonight. I'll tell you that for free. That he, you know, it's that whole like, God give me the confidence of a mediocre white man kind of thing. He believes in himself. That comes across. But he was way too pleased with himself for repeating Mawan's cow gag. And more of Nicholas Cactus was through the donut than any of Ryland's or Mawan's cow.
Yeah, I didn't love it. I get it. It really could have gone either way. It's not what I was chosen, but I'm not the taskmaster.
He said he did it because he wanted people to be mad at him. So
yeah,
you got it.
Task 2, sculpt the scene on the other side of this wall. Most accurate sculpture wins. You have 15 minutes. I understand Krishnan's apprehension with this. Just sticking your hands into something. As a child, going to those like haunted houses where you'd stick your hand in a bowl of spaghetti, not my thing. And I avoid them as an adult as well. As soon as I figured out that I was a person, I would have been really like weirded out.
Yeah.
And I think I would have just made up a sculpture without actually feeling around what's going on.
Can I ask, did you think if I were in that position, I'd run out the front door, run around the side of the house, enter through the study, and see if I can see what's on the other side of the wall that's in the front hall?
Yeah, there was
because I hear 15 minutes and I'm like, I got to get this done right now. Like, I wouldn't think to move about.
Mm-hmm.
I do think,
I'm also a rule follower. So if something seemed like vaguely out of the rules, I probably wouldn't do it.
You're the Catherine Parkinson from last season where she just never really thought that she could leave the room, even though it never said that on the task. I love that. I wonder, it didn't say on the task that you had to stay in that room.
No, it didn't. It also didn't say you can't knock the wall down.
Right. That was my thinking too. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think that you only have 15 minutes, but I think you maybe other than Ryland, you probably could have done something. If you saw the whole thing, you probably could have
done the whole thing. At worst, you lose a minute or two. Like, there's another wall on the other side of the hall, and you run around and you get there and you're stymied. Okay, so now you've got, like, what, 14 minutes or 13 minutes to do the task. Like, you know, it's a risk.
I also have a terrible sense of time. I don't know how long anything takes. So I'd be like, 15 minutes, that's 3 seconds. Like, that's so short. And I would be gone for 1 minute. I'd be like, well, half my time's gone. Like, what's the point of this?
Can I say something? This type of task, I think, the, like, sculpt something or sometimes the art, these I think are my least favorite type of task. I think least favorite type of taskmaster task. I do think that this episode did a really good job with coming up with basically 5 tasks, including the prize test and the live test, that were really good for like a one-off special. I think, again, same way that the prize test sort of has to be something that can sort of give you a glimpse into people's personalities, has to be something that resonates because it's a one and done versus, you know, in episode 6 of a 10 episode season, you can kind of slot some of your weaker tasks in there. To me, if I was thinking about designing that, these are my least favorite, I think.
Grace, can I ask, is it that they're making art that you don't like, or is it that they can't see what they're doing, like the one where they have to draw the woman in the caravan, but they can't see her and they can only ask her questions about herself?
Yeah, and last season there was the one where they could turn on the lay to look into the room, and there's the lights that they could, if they pressed it, they lost time, but they were trying to recreate an animal. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know what it is that, like, I think there often is such little discrepancy sometimes between the art, especially. I feel like you can tell when something's really good and you can tell when something's really bad, and everything in the middle sort of is like, I don't know how I would differentiate between giving you 3 or 4 points.
But you don't dislike the art tasks, like put 50 things in the bin and then make a representation of the taskmaster.
No, I don't mind those. Or okay. I love draw a horse while you're riding a horse. I love that one. But yeah, some of these ones just don't work for me as much as some of the other ones do.
I think that's fair.
Shirley ended up with 1 point. She tried to sculpt on the wall. Nicola ended up with 2 points, despite her excellent and very quick duck. John had 3 points. Christian had 4. And Ryland had 5. I think all of these points were pretty fair.
Yeah, it doesn't give you a lot to chew on. Seems like about right.
And then we're going to, I think this was my least favorite task of the episode. I think maybe, and this was probably the case in season 10 as well. Like I said, the prize tasks are getting a little finicky. I think some of the actual tasks are getting a little finicky too. I've been watching Taskmaster New Zealand, and those tasks are a little more simple. They're different than what we've been seeing on regular Taskmaster. But they just don't kind of have that complicated factor of, like, we've been doing this for 10 seasons. So I would love to, like, go back a little bit to some of the more basic things. But this one wasn't my favorite. Build the lightest tower on the set of scales. You may not move the scales or tape anything to them. You may not tamper with or block the fan. The fan will be on for 1 minute every other minute. At the end of the 10 minutes, your tower must be taller than a wolf and stand by itself for 10 seconds. Lightest tower wins. Your time starts now. There is a rule only for Ryland. Also, every time Alex rings his little bell, you have to pretend you've had a brilliant idea. So that's a classic thing in Taskmaster where one person will be set a task and nobody else gets. It makes me laugh every time. I love it. So John, his tower was 160 grams. What did he build it with?
There was a funnel on the bottom and a dowel and a plume at the top.
Yeah, it's a little, so to me, you said you didn't love the task. It's a little more complicated. Yeah, no, that's fine. I just talked about a task that I didn't love.
I could see myself getting very frustrated with it. Like, I'd be a Nicola and it would fall. I would knock it over. And I think at the end, I'd be like, I don't want this anymore.
So the Taskmaster official podcast done by Ed Gamble which is a good accompany piece if you're watching. Well, they only started with season 10, but it was really fun. And he said during one of the tasks, I think it was when they bought the tree wrapper thing, whatever you would call that, mm-hmm. when you wrap up a tree. And Ed said, I feel like sometimes Alex buys a thing and then tries to figure out how to use it in a task, which for me was they bought this weird bubble and a fan and like a scale. And they were like, I don't know. I get, you know, we'll figure out something to do with that. To me, I did like this test. I think in execution, I think a bigger fan would have meant that people, like, it felt like people built very light things. And when you have to build something that's quite light, then, you know, we're talking about what John built. There's not like actually much to it. And that's because like the fan actually wasn't powerful enough that it really felt like it was ever really like destroying anybody's tower that much. So to me, maybe just in a bit of execution, this task could have been a little bit more fun. Again, Ryland goes for the most loophole thing you can. And this time Greg says no. But to me, I think that's where maybe this task wasn't executed as well as it could have been from like a design. Oh, well, I'm interested, Miles, from a design standpoint. Was this something that you, like, was this a task that you liked?
I did. Yeah. In many ways, it was kind of classic to me, sort of classic Taskmaster. I remember they had to put weight equal to Ollie on the scale, and building towers is something that they've done, I feel like, multiple times. And it's a fun, like XY axis, you know, height and weight. Mm-hmm. And then adding the fan is kind of the torture mechanism. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there was a way to obstruct the wind from the fan, but then it's like, you might as well just be building on the tower. You know, and although I've established that Ryland kind of ooks me out, I think that this task was worth it for both the great bell gag, which was really fun. Like, I liked those moments where Alex would ding his bell, and also Ryland, what will you use to weigh the tower? Now let's go on. I think I'd use the scale.
Alex is literally one of the best like straight men I've ever seen in something. Just, he's so good at playing off other people. And when you have, oftentimes during Taskmaster, you have these outrageous personalities. And so just seeing Alex get to play off of them is such a delight. He created this show. It's his creation. It's his idea. He puts it all together. And then for him to put himself in sort of this like role where he's sort of like, you know,
second banana.
Yeah, is a really good way of putting it, that he gets, you know, poked at all the time, is so brilliant. It's so funny. I love it. I love Alex.
I might be in love with Alex. Like, if he wanted to run away with me,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I absolutely would.
I've asked him multiple times. He doesn't respond, but maybe you could try.
I appreciate him in his current capacity. Who knows? True. Maybe if you ran away with him, you'd like him less.
That's, we wouldn't get a new Taskmaster if we ran away together.
Mm-hmm. I would get annoyed if he tried to give me a task every day. I'd be like, just let me sit on the couch, please. I need this.
See, I have no idea how long to spend. I have no concept of time. Like, have we been together an hour or a year?
Exactly. So John gets 5 points, Christian gets 4, Shilly gets 3. Nicola and Ryland both get disqualified because Nicola's tower wasn't tall enough, Ryland's wasn't standing on its own, which I thought was absolutely the right.
Oh, it was
call.
Rubbish.
It,
yeah, Ryland's did not
in the
make
rules.
A tower.
It had to stand on its own. It was obviously not.
Can we also just talk about Alex's obsession with like converting height or weight to random things?
That's
so
great.
There's no reason in this task that the height measurements need to be the size of a wolf or the size of an emperor penguin, but they are, because Alex loves to do that. And then when he also is saying, is it this one or is it the previous one where he's explaining what the weight of it is? And he's like, it's the equivalent of a hamster. It's just like, he does it all the time. And I'm not
a
sure where it comes from, but it's
a seed battery. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like such a little like, and he does it. I think every
it's
season
great.
He does, these little conversions, that are so ridiculous.
This might be a far out analogy, but I remember when I discovered, when I was listening to Jim Gaffigan early on, and his thing was he like internalized the voice of the audience not liking his show. And, you know, that's sustained over like, you know, multiples of his shows. And I was like, oh, this is great. This guy's got a thing. It's a good thing. It's specific to him and he does it well. And I think that's like Alex and the oddball weights and measures.
Yeah. And it never really gets old for me because it's always something that I would never in my brain think to put with another thing.
And he's also giving you the information that you need at the same time. So it's great.
Or he also does the thing where he'll say the seconds first and then the minutes backwards. Yep. So then you think you get really like a really short amount of time. And then it's like, wait, no, you're just saying a right amount of time backwards. Like, what is wrong with you?
And he mixes up. He adds in some weights and measures that are not real. Like, he's like, oh, the exact amount of time it takes me to tuck you into bed at night.
So then we cut to the live task. Again, it's a fixture on every single episode of Taskmaster. I love that they did a two-part live task. Yep. The first part, without your fellow contestants seeing, select one object from your box. If you select the same object as one of your fellow contestants, you both lose one actual point. You have 30 seconds. So this is something that's not like the most wild Taskmaster live studio challenge. We've seen similar things to this before. I always kind of like it because there's some drama to it. Like you want to pick something that nobody else is picking, but then, you know, do you pick the most simple thing? Do you pick the wildest things? The objects, we had an anchor, a balloon, a cabbage, a diagram, an equilateral triangle. So Rylan chose the diagram. He didn't lose any points. John and Shirley both chose the cabbage, so they each lose one. Christian and Nicola, they chose the equilateral triangle, so they each lose 1.2. And then in the second part, strike the most balls into the bath with your object. If any of your balls touch the Taskmaster, you lose one actual point. You have 1 minute.
So the other thing I'll say about, you know, talking about this not being the most out there live task, but the part of Taskmaster that I also love, the reason why this show is incredible is at the end of the show, they give us a score update right before the live task. And we know we have three people who are, you know, up there in points. I think they're all tied for first place. They all have 17 points or something around there. And we, or maybe it's less than that. But anyway, so we go into this task and then the task is like, pick something from your basket and make sure nobody else picks the same thing. As far as they know, this is the whole task. And then there's like this drama of Shirley being like, I chose a cabbage. Like, and like thinking that she's like lost the show because she chose a cabbage out of a random assortment of objects. That is like the truly like delight of the absurdity of Taskmaster is that you get invested into whether someone's going to pick a cabbage or not.
And Nicola was devastated that she had also chosen the triangle, like truly devastated. Yeah. And then
I would have chosen the diagram.
Would you? I don't know what I have chose. Balloon, maybe? I don't know. Hard to say now.
And I would have blocked Ryland. That would have been hilarious. I don't hate Ryland. He's just somebody on the show who was like, whoa, what's up with that guy? Like that describes my feelings about Ryland.
I thought John was at a significant disadvantage in this.
So did John.
With his positioning. I would have fought that all day. I'd have been like, no, I'm not hitting any of the balls because there's no point.
Yeah, I was yelling at the TV and then John recognizes himself that he is at the worst angle to hit Greg. I mean, unless you've picked, like if you're on the end and you've picked such a terrible item that the trajectory of where your ball is going would hit Greg. But John was at such a disadvantage in this.
Yeah, it's good. It was funny. I liked it.
It is good. It is funny.
It didn't matter. He wasn't going to win.
And he ended up hitting Greg with four balls.
Two on purpose.
That was a good line.
He was just like, no, I'm done. Shirley got two balls in the bathtub. Nicola got one in. John also got one in, but because he hit Greg so many times, he doesn't get any points. And Christian and Rylan both get zero in. I did like this live challenge a lot. I think
it was great.
With last season and this special episode, they do have like a social distancing protocol in effect, so that's really changed up what kind of tasks they're able to do in studio. I thought this was a great one. I really enjoyed it. I like seeing these kinds of things. It's absurd and ridiculous, and that describes Taskmaster.
I went on and on at the beginning about how much I liked Shirley. I liked Nicola very much. I'd never seen her before. I liked her energy. I thought she was cute as a button, and I really liked her outfit. You know, she looked great, but what a risk, because you know you're going to be on stage doing a studio task at the end. Like, she was not, you know, dressed to move. But it's okay because she wasn't good. She hit the hit the ball with the open end of the triangle. And Greg thought he was being helpful by saying the side, but, you know, she was trying to use the side. You know, it was imprecise directions from Greg, but it didn't matter.
I think I would have gone high fashion in my outfit. If I'm ever on Taskmaster, like, I'm going high fashion every single episode. Because I loved, like, Catherine Ryan, like, her outfit every single episode. Yeah. And sometimes it was not great for the in-studio task, but gosh, didn't she look great every single time. Mm. I don't think I'd go high fashion for the task day, though. I would very much wear yoga pants and Ryan shoes.
Yeah. So in part two there, Rylan had the diagram and he rolled it up like a baseball bat. Do you think if he had have like used it more like a launching pad, like he put the ball, launching does that count pad. As striking
oh,
your ball
interesting.
And then
For
like
sure.
launching it?
Yeah.
Like that's how I would have done it, but he was using it more like a baseball bat.
Useless.
Yeah.
Oh, I meant to tag this before, but I liked what Nicola said. She was like, you know what? I think I just have too much self-confidence because I thought I did amazing at all. And I liked that was funny. And then she was laughing at herself. Greg's very hard on young people. And women, you know, and everyone, let's be clear. But he does seem to, you know, particularly like shitting on the young. And I think that Nicole is probably right. You know, like maybe she does have too much self-confidence and thinks that she did amazing at everything. She, you know, obviously did not when it came to the tower. And, you know, I think fairly we all agreed, not particularly at the sculpture either. But I thought that was a fun sort of thing for her to say while smiling and still being like a good sport about the game.
Do you think with Greg being so hard sometimes on the women is why Alex will seemingly only help women in tasks? Have you noticed this? I feel like last season, I think it depends on who it is, but last season he very much helped Catherine a lot. Whereas I think if someone
Catherine was helpless,
yeah. Where I think with someone, if someone like Richard Herring last season or Christian was like, "Can you help me?" He often will be like, "No."
No, is he going to go get Richard Herring or Ed Gamble an extra donut if they ask for it? I mean,
yeah, he probably would.
Alex said on the Taskmaster podcast that he helps the women when they ask. And I think that, you know, American sexism looks different than English sexism. It's easier for me to see on this show like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, the misogyny there sort of stands apart a bit much more. You know, I hate to ding a show that I like so much, but I do see sort of a. You know, an anti-woman thread throughout it. And it just stands out, I think, more because it's not my own specific culture. So, yeah, I think that that's sort of a bit of chauvinism, what Alex does to help the women players. But I don't think it makes the show significantly less fun.
Oh, we got very serious at the end here.
Who said I was done? I have more to say about Ryland. No.
Oh, yeah. Go on. Have you made a list of all the things you wanted to get to?
You know, I should have done that. I mean, not with Ryland, just with the show in general. I wanted to mention Bop It. I free associated that. Shirley did such a good job winning at the end with things at a party. And you know what it reminded me of? One of my favorite prizes for the payoff was best things to celebrate with on a stage. And then Rose Matafeo got to go up and, you know, drive the party bus that David Baddiel had fabricated and fire off Ed Gamble's confetti cannon penis pants, and take a big pair of scissors and snip a ribbon.
This was a fun episode. Shirley was a great winner. She was so excited about it. And that just makes me happy. I like being filled with joy. This episode filled me with joy. I'll take any Taskmaster that they're willing to give me. It felt like a long off season between the last one and this most recent season. I do believe there's a new season coming out, hopefully in the spring.
Wait.
The cast was released for that.
Sorry, you felt like it was a long off season between 10 and between no. 9 and 10 or between yeah. 10 and the New Year's Eve show?
9 and 10.
Yeah, sure.
It also felt like a long off season between 10 and this New Year's special of even though it was only like 1 or 2 weeks.
I see.
Anytime we start getting to like episode 7 or 8, I'm like, no, it's coming to an end. I can't handle it. I need it to go on forever.
I think we have quite a bit of Taskmaster because I believe they're also doing a Champions of Champions
yes,
for seasons, series 6 through 10, which is a thing they did after the first five seasons, in which the five winners compete against each other. I think it was a camera. Was it just a one official or was just a few episodes?
Two.
So hopefully they'll do that. Be multiple episodes. I think also they've done a commendable job of sort of having, they had to pivot with COVID. It was a bit interesting last season when we had some of the tasks had been filmed pre-social distancing, some of them had been filmed afterwards, which created sort of a weird dynamic when you're watching the task, because it didn't seem like maybe some of them were, it was set up in entirely the same way. But for the most part, I have to say it's certainly the first episode, you're like, oh, it feels a little bit different. But the more they got into it, the less I felt like it was, it felt that much different. It has the same spirit, I would say.
They are a role model for how you can pivot your show. It's really good. And, you know, the laugh track works out fine. And they got really lucky, I think, as has been commented, having Daisy Mae Cooper in the studio. And if anyone was the most hurt by not having an audience, I wish that when she had to play the studio task where she listed four-letter words and just said every swear word she could think of, I wish a studio audience had been there for that.
Did you hear what they did for the studio audience, though?
No.
When restrictions were a little more lax in the UK over the summer, and they gave free tickets, and you would go see it in a cinema, and you'd be, like, distanced from everyone. And they show you the whole series, and then they recorded that. So the laughing, sure, it was a laugh track, but it was people actually reacting to that segment of the show.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've just done a really good job, and it's just is still the same show that we love.
And love it we do. I may have to do, well, I think it's not going to be that long a layoff until series 11. And you know, I'll probably do the same thing as this, is look the people up, because that was actually, you know, kind of fun knowing a little bit about, I mean, that's what's different, as I'd heard on the podcast, like, oh, the players are not comics, and I was like, oh, then I wonder what they are, because, like, without looking up anybody's background, you can be safely assume, like, oh, they're comics. But then again, like, I never heard of David Baddiel. I did know who Paul Cinna was because I like quizzes and I'd seen The Chase, and much like there, like, Greg made a lot of hay about Christian being a newsreader, like, he brought it up in every discussion of a Christian task, in the same way that The Chase and The Cineman was like a constant thread of reference on his season. And I thought that was really great as well. But yeah, do you know anything about series 11 cast? Are they comics?
Yeah,
is there a
so series 11, we'll see actor Charlotte Ritchie.
This is great. You are saving me a bunch of Googling. Please go on. I'm so happy.
Who is in Ghosts. I'm not sure if that's a TV show or movie. Stand-up comedian Jamali Maddox, BAFTA-winning comic Lee Mack. He's the only one of the series that I know. I've seen him in 100 things, so I'm really excited to see him in that. Writer and comedian Mike Wozniak, who is in Man Down. And Man Down is actually a Greg Davis show, so mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to seeing that relationship, kind of like Rod Gilbert. I've seen some of Man Down, so I probably recognize him, but not on the street or anything. And then BAFTA nominated actor and comedian Sarah Kendall, who is in Frayed.
Yeah, okay, I don't know any of those.
So,
people, but that's
so Lee Mack is he's a panel staple. He's one of the Would I Lie to You hosts. He has maybe one of the best like wits I've ever like heard. He's so quick. He's so funny. I think. Anybody who I've seen be like, this is the series. Everyone's like, okay, Lee Mack, that's amazing. It's going to be great. And the only other one I know is Jamali Maddox did a show called Hate Thy Neighbor, where he toured around basically the United States, sort of interacting with hate groups, which you would not think is like funny, but he has a way of making it funny. So I'm excited to see him on there. Everybody else will be new to me. But again, that's sort of what I love about the show is there's so many people that I had no idea who they were going into it. And you come out of it being like, what a delightful person that is. They were so fun to watch. It'll be great.
I'm really looking forward to it. Like, give me any Taskmaster. I'm thrilled. Taskmaster New Zealand, I'm really enjoying it. You can find it on YouTube as well. Not as legal, we'll tell you that. But it's been really fun. Like, I love it. I love this show. I'm excited that we got to talk about it. I love this special. I loved talking to you two. What a thrill for me. I thought this was wonderful.
thank you so much for correctly turning me onto this show. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to gab about it. I do love to go on and on.
It was wonderful. Grace, thank you for setting this up and bringing us together.
Yeah, I reached out to Rob. I was like, I had recently, if you're not a patron of Rob as a podcast, we did a Taskmaster patron special. So if you love Taskmaster, but you're not a patron, but you want to see some more Taskmaster content, that is one way you could do it. It was really fun. We did more like in
Grace,
your house.
Give Rob a score of 1 to 5, how he did as Taskmaster.
Rob was good as a test. You know, I can't give him a full 5. There's always room for improvement. So we'll give him a 4. But it was really good. It was really fun. I think in the same way that there are sometimes when you disagree with Greg gives Ryland 5 points for putting tricking us and not really putting a real cow through a donut. You're not always going to agree with Rob, but that is the fun. And he sort of embraced that, I think, as well. Not wanting to feel like he was, trying to kind of think what would the people who are watching and what will they want me to do? He sort of went in his own direction, which was really fun. I hope we get to do another one of those soon. I know that there is like an at home version of Taskmaster there as well. So, I've been on a big Taskmaster kick. I knew that this New Year special was coming up. Reached out to Rob and said, let us podcast about it. People will listen. So, if you liked it, let Rob know and maybe you'll hear more Taskmaster content on Rob as a podcast in the future.
I gave Rob a note.
Ask Rob for permission. I've gotten into the habit of just recording something and then sending it to Scott without asking.
Scott, leave that in, yeah. Scott.
I just go, see ya.
Here it is.
I'll message Scott and be like, hey, Scott, I'm sending you this.
Haley, you said that you don't come up with clever loopholes. thank you. And thank you for reminding me of something else I wanted to bring up. All the people who are listening who say, when I play games, I just do it for fun and I don't care if I win. On behalf of game makers everywhere, I say thank you for making our games fun. The people who care a lot about winning, do they make games fun? Sometimes yes. Sometimes no. Sometimes they make it less fun. So thank you to Haley and her ilk.
I'm just here to have a good time. You know what I mean? And like,
not a long time.
Taskmaster is a good time. So should we? Yeah,
Should we play our own Taskmaster here, Haley? If you say sometimes you just record something, should we just get people to record stuff and then just send it to Rob? That sounds like a fun task people could do at home.
Because I am the grandmother of the Rahapups. I get like a special pass to do whatever I want sometimes.
You've put in your time. You have special dispensation.
Yeah, I have that special treatment of like, hey, I'm doing this. Hey guys, we're going to do a podcast about a show about a woman just trying to get pregnant by a random guy. Hope that's cool. Thanks. Like
you have done that. You have diplomatic immunity.
I think
I were to give Rob a note as his Taskmaster role, I think the Taskmaster is supposed to shit on people more. And that's not really Rob's brand.
Rob's a Libra. He can't do it.
If Akiva should be the Taskmaster.
So you know what?
Also a Libra can't shit on people.
I initially pitched it as a Renab episode and they said no, it got rejected. And then I brought it to Rob as a patron idea. But I do think now that we've seen it, as a patron event, we could now see that the format sort of works. We know what did and didn't work with the tasks we chose. So it could find itself back on the Renap wheel in the future, maybe with some Rahap personalities.
Yeah, resubmit and
call
tell
me
Rob.
If that goes up.
Yeah.
Like, make Akiva the Taskmaster and have, and this would be different than the British show, is that Akiva's word is final and Rob can complain about Akiva's points, but is powerless to change them.
I do love that.
So there's the board game and there's the thing he has that you can like donate to charity and get a video of Alex.
Yeah.
And I was looking on the website, I was like, oh, there's masks. That is good. And there's
mask tester. Mask tester is what the masks say. So I mean that's great.
Yeah. And people who listen to the patron cast know I love an apron. So if somebody out there just randomly wants to get me a present, you should buy me Taskmaster apron.
I would also take that.
Okay. Mission. Grace, you went on this? You want to apron?
Make it
aprons
three.
For all. Okay, three pack
willing
aprons.
To give my address out for that, for sure.
Scott will buy us the aprons.
Can't wait. Looking forward to it. We'll check the mailbox. They have my address. Miles, where can people find you on the internet? What other projects are you working on?
I'm making games, playing games on Zoom. And, you know, honestly, these days with my two kids at home, doing a lot of not working also, parenting. And but for where I can be found, go to milesnye.com. MYLESNYE.com. You can learn about my business, Wise Guys Events, how we play games for professionals who care about their workplace culture, and the other silly stuff I do.
Grace, what are you up to?
So you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Hi From Grace. I have a podcast called Hold Up, where we look at LGBTQ media from the past, typically about, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, and then see if it holds up. My co-host there is Hudson. You can find us at Hold Up Podcast, but that's with one P on Twitter. And yeah, that's what I've got going on.
So for what it's worth, I think that is one of the most brilliant podcast ideas that I've heard in a very long time.
It's very fun. Sometimes we see stuff that was like super groundbreaking, and sometimes we see stuff that is awful. So a mixed bag.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @strongpick_. You can check out my blog, strongpicks.ca. That's been pretty dormant lately because I am lazy. The Bachelor's coming back. Bachelor's back this week. So is the Bachelorette podcast or the Bachelor podcast. I do believe at this time of recording, the preview draft episode just dropped. We talked to Mari, who's just a pure delight of a lady. So check that out. And if you like hearing me talk about British things, well, good news. We covered a season of Great British Bake Off over in the Top Chef Wrap Up. So check that out. And until next time, hopefully, Rob, if you're listening, we'll see you later. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.